Today we're talking about understanding the job funnel and how you can use it to land your new dream job. Welcome back to Career Unlimited. I'm Stu, your host, and this is part two of our Dream Job series. The last episode we were talking about training for game day, and I had a couple of people reach out to me for role plays. Someone's already at the third interview stage and they have to do a presentation. So he's going to present to me and we're going to get a lot of feedback to help him level up, which is going to be a lot of fun. But today is all about the funnel. So what do I mean by a funnel? Well, let's think about all the steps from a job ad going up to someone being offered the role. Now, every company has a different process. However, let's discuss what I would call a typical funnel. Step one, the job is advertised. Step two, there's a phone screen. Step three, you get your first interview, typically with your manager. Step four, a second interview, maybe a technical interview. And step five, the third and final interview, presentation to the wider team. Now, working backwards from that, you might have a final interview and a presentation with two or three other candidates. The second interview stage might be for five candidates. The first interview might involve 10 people. Phone screen could be up to 30. And when the job is advertised, they could get anywhere between 100 and 200 applications. Now that could be a little bit daunting. Having to compete with over 100 people for a job, that sounds like an uphill battle. So just to get started, I've used a little mental technique to stay motivated. I said to myself, look, I have as much chance as the next person of getting a role. If I apply for 100 jobs, I'm definitely going to get one of them. But I mentally prepared for 100. So that week after week, if you're starting to lose motivation, you think it's hopeless, just think of that 100 number and all you have to do is put in the applications, get 100 applications and you're going to get one of the jobs. Because that's the worst case. And actually by listening to Career Unlimited, you're ensuring you have a better than even chance of getting a job and you won't ever have to do the full 100. And that's what we're going to focus on now, giving you that edge. Now your job as a candidate is obviously to get as far through that funnel as you can. But you need to focus on different things at each stage. So the best way to do that is to understand the people behind the curtain, behind the stages, who's actually involved at that stage and what are they looking for. So step one, the application stage. Now, typically this will be a recruiter or a HR coordinator. Now, if you've ever had to sort through 100 or more resumes, it becomes extremely tedious. You read the first couple thoroughly, and after that, you'll just start looking for shortcuts. No relevant education? Cut it. Can't see how many years experience they have? Cut. Typos, bad formatting? Cut. Basically, they're looking desperately for reasons to throw your resume in the bin. They need to do this to 100 resumes just to get to the 30 or so they want to bring into the phone screen. So firstly, if you have your resume in Microsoft Word right now, delete it. Sign up for Canva, search resume templates, fill it out, and you'll already have a resume that looks better than 50% of the people that apply. And you're going to stand a chance of getting through to that phone screen simply because of the look of your resume. It'll give you a bit of X factor, a bit of design flair. It shows that you went to the extra effort. Now, when I was applying for jobs, I didn't get a phone screen for a particular role I wanted, and I was told that I wouldn't progress. When I asked for feedback, they said I didn't have enough experience. I thought, that's crazy. I've got 15 years experience in software, 5 years in product. And they replied saying that, actually, look, honestly, they didn't look at my resume too closely. They couldn't immediately see that, so I was cut. And that was a powerful lesson. You need to make your most relevant experience on your resume stand out. At the application stage, people are not going to read your entire resume in detail. So have a career highlight section or a call out, or make it very, very obvious that your resume meets the key criteria that they're looking at. So even if someone just casually glanced at your resume, they could quickly see that that was not one of the ones they could strike through. I reformatted my resume to highlight my years of experience, and I didn't make people jump through hoops or connect the dots to understand why what I'd done was relevant. It stated it clearly at the top, and I started getting callbacks straight away. Now, step two, the phone interview. These are typically done by the same person that didn't throw your resume in the bin. And the primary job here is to ensure that you're a real person and that you don't disqualify on things like logistics, where you live, your visa, your personal situation. And they want to be comfortable putting you forward to the hiring manager. It's also a lot about your ability to speak on the phone, your communication skills. Can they understand you? Remember, this person will be recommending candidates for the first interview with their manager, and they don't want to look bad by putting forward someone that's a waste of time. So they're trying to protect their reputation, and they want to put forward exciting and promising candidates. And this is where role plays can come in handy. Have a friend practice phone screening you. Have your resume handy and know it really well so you can speak to it confidently. Speak clearly, project that sort of humble confidence, but also have good reasons why you're interested in that company. You need to do your research and why you're looking for a new role. In terms of don't do's, never speak poorly about your previous company in any of the interviews. Even if it was the worst rated company on Glassdoor, you don't want to be that person. When you bag someone else, the interviewer will start wondering if you're going to bag them one day. Just something generic like it wasn't a good culture fit for you, or you wanted to work somewhere with more opportunities is perfectly adequate. And do not ask about salary and perks and other items at this stage. It's just not appropriate. Now, step three, the big one, the interview with the manager. So you're through the phone screen into the next interview. This is typically with the hiring manager or the person that could be your new boss. Now, this person is going to end up spending a lot of time with the new recruit. So they want to get along with you, like you, be confident you're going to solve their problems, that they don't need to babysit you, make the team succeed and make them look good, listen to them and be coachable. So if you can bring stories and examples that speak to those from previous roles, they'll help the hiring manager imagine what life would be like with you. If in the phone screening stage, they're looking for reasons to say no, in the interview with the manager, they're looking for reasons to say yes. So stories and examples where your former managers have asked you to maybe solve something, you went out, collaborated throughout the organization, sought input from multiple parties, implemented a solution and got an outcome, that is gold. Now questions are another big opportunity to showcase your interest and your skills. Too often people can wait with their questions to the end. However, you can often run out of time and it makes the entire process feel too one way and too sort of formulaic. Now at the same time, the interviewer might not like it if you're constantly disrupting their flow and asking too many questions. That could be seen as rude. So how do you get the balance right? I like to think about it more like ping pong, where they've asked you something, you share your answer and your story, and then you end it with a question back to them. Not every time though. But an example might be you might be sharing a story about an initiative that you delivered, and you could end it with, you know, do you find your customers have similar issues to that? Or is that the kind of initiative that would help me succeed in this role? Those sort of context probing questions, they sound natural and off the cuff, they allow for a bit more of a back and forth, and they'll allow the manager the flexibility to sort of expand and elaborate on them as much as they want to. And often those innocent questions, they're biased for a yes answer. So unconsciously, by having them agree with you multiple times over the interview, they may later think about how you're on the right track and you were speaking about things that they agreed with. So that's one way to keep a dialogue going that's more natural rather than a very formal interrogation. It also helps you stay relaxed because whilst they're answering your questions, you can relax and take a drink of water, etc. Depending if you're moving into a new industry or a new role, the manager might be interested, but maybe not necessarily sold on you. And if you're getting that impression, you can always ask more pointed questions. So what's the problem this role's solving? Is this a new role or replacing someone that left? What are the keys to succeeding in this role? And depending on the answers, then you can sort of pitch yourself to solve one of those things. Maybe they say they're simply replacing staff that left. And if this is a new role for you, you could say how enthusiastic you are about this kind of role and how you think it'd be a great role to be in for a number of years to really master it, effectively signaling that you don't plan to job hop something that they had prior. If it was a new role they created, you could talk about experiences in the past where you've been placed into new roles and give examples of how you've dealt with some of the ambiguity there and really help the business shape that role over time. This showcases your ability to provide insights and really tailor yourself to the problems that they're trying to solve with this hire. Now, step four, the technical interview. Not all roles will have a technical interview, some more than others, such as engineering or programming. I'm not going to say too much on those other than practice, practice, practice. But even for non-technical roles or if there's no formal quiz, a great skill to have is to be able to explain concepts on a whiteboard. You know, practice on an actual whiteboard in your office, get one at home. Just pick a topic or a concept that's relevant to the role and practice how you would teach it to others. Now, this can be a very powerful tactic. In an interview, I was asked about a process I'd taken to build a website. And I asked if I could jump up and use the whiteboard. And everyone loves a whiteboard session, so they definitely agreed with that. And this has a few powerful benefits. Firstly, it helps you think. I'm a very visual person, so I like to sketch out and look at things visually to sort of organize my thoughts. Secondly, it's very collaborative. It sort of mimics how people work. The people interviewing you can get a sense of you being in their office and doing this kind of thing. And thirdly, we're all biased towards people teaching us. Yeah, ever since primary school, the person at the front of the room with a pen or a chalk in their hand was the person of authority. So when you jump up and have the confidence to whiteboard ideas, you get to steal a little bit of that psychology too, and you can impress people with your knowledge and your communication style. Now finally, step five, the final presentation. The biggest learning that I've taken from presentations is to go above and beyond. Now this is the pinnacle of the competition. Most likely it's you and one to two others all presenting, and you need to do something that's going to wow the judges. You want tens across the board. Your presentation might be decent on its own, but it's going to be judged against the others, so don't be afraid to go beyond the brief. Also, double check exactly how much time you're expected to present for. Now, I had a presentation for an interview, and the brief was only about half a page, quite vague, and I thought I'd flesh it out really well. Presentation was slated for an hour. Now, despite extending beyond what I thought was being asked for, the presentation went for about 30 minutes with a 10-minute Q&A, and it was sort of awkward at the end. Like, they asked if I had anything else to present, which I didn't. And later I was told I was unsuccessful, and they gave feedback that they wanted me to think bigger and include things that they hadn't necessarily asked for. Now, at the time, I thought that was really unfair. However, I'm not trying to pass an assignment here at school. I'm trying to compete against other people. I could have done more. I could have interviewed potential customers in the case study, created a mock website, built out a stronger marketing strategy, have a 30, 60, 90-day plan, outline some KPIs, just go above and beyond. Unlike an exam paper where you have to be very strict on answering the question, I found that for company presentations, yes, you need to address what they give you, but this is your opportunity to showcase your skill set and stand out from the crowd. So go all in. You'd rather have the extra content and not need it than need it like I did and not have it. Team, that's a wrap for understanding the funnel today. This week, Career Unlimited topped over 150 downloads, which is crazy. So thank you to everyone that's followed. My ask this week is to send this podcast to one friend, just one, who you think could use a career boost. We all have that one friend that could use some inspiration. So send this podcast to them in a private message and they might thank you later. Until then, remember to understand the funnel, address the needs of the person interviewing you, and know that your career has no limits.